Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's good to be back with you. Good to continue to be with you. 34 after the hour, Mr. Gracious and Humble at your service. And I said the hour, didn't I? 34 after the hour. I said that already, I think. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. Check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you go there, you'll find past conversations that I've had with Joe Kilmartin, who's our guest this half hour, and director of compensation at salary.com. He's got some research he's conducted. He wants to tell us about his executive compensation research that he's done for small businesses. And he's our good friend, Joe. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks an awful lot, Jim. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. Now, why in the world did you want to find out about what small business executives were being paid?
We get a lot of questions about that from small businesses. We have a lot of small business owners that come to our website looking for information.
How many of them say, I'm a small business executive. I started this company. When do I start getting paid? How many of you? I could have asked that question once upon a time.
I think quite a few of them have that in the back of their minds when they contact us. But I think most of them are small business owners that have been in business for a while, and now the challenge is, what do I pay the people that work with me? Obviously, I'm not going to be paying them the same as major corporations pay, but how do I figure out what to pay?
Mm-hmm. How do I pay my vice presidents?
Exactly. And then we tried to answer their question about 3 years ago. We ran our first small business survey, and we had all of 300 companies participate in that survey. Mm-hmm. And we were scratching our heads because the data we got was good considering, that there were only 300 companies. But considering the hundreds of thousands of small businesses out there, we weren't sure that that was representative. And we tried to figure out what we were doing wrong. And we think we came up with the right answer.
All right.
And that is that small businesses aren't organized the same way General Motors or General Electric or AT&T are organized.
That's a big revelation for a lot of people, Joe, because a lot of people, especially in the big companies, some big companies think, and some people on Madison Avenue believe, that small businesses are little big businesses.
Yeah, and we found that's not true at all.
We're not even the same genus. We're a totally different genus. You know, we're not even just a different species. We're, you know, they're fish and we're fowl or something like that.
That's right, and we were researching this after that first survey, and we figured that out. It was a moment of lightning
struck. It was an aha moment, huh?
Oh yeah, and so we conducted this survey completely differently than the first survey, and we went from 300 participants to over 1,800 participants, which is a tremendous increase in the number of participants. And the one thing that we did different was recognizing that small business owners, the people that work for those people, just don't do one thing. There isn't a vice president of finance that's all that person does.
Right.
There isn't a vice president of human resources, and that's all that person does. These people wear various hats.
You know why? Because there are too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on.
That's right. That's right. So you might have one person who has three or four functions, traditional functions that you'd find one person holding in a large company.
Right. And typically in small businesses, there is no executive vice president to sort of take up the slack.
That's right.
They're all vice presidents of sales, manufacturing, vice president of distribution or mm-hmm. procurement or whatever. They've all got a specific job to do, don't they?
That's right. But in the small business arena, one person could be doing two or three of those job functions, and I think that's what led us to this first really successful small business compensation survey. What it basically shows is that small business owners are doing well, at least the 1,800 that participated in our survey, And their people are doing quite well also.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, most of the 1,800 were in the category of about 250 or less. We did have a small number, small percentage, about 12% that were over that number. But most of them were under the 200, 250.
And all the way down to as few as, what, 10 employees? And you have some that were even smaller than that?
Yes, we did. We had mm-hmm. Some participants that only had two or three employees.
Right, right. And one of the points I think we should point out there, when we use the word executive in a small business, Joe, we use that term, sometimes that's a loose term, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because sometimes, I mean, they are executives. They just might not be called vice presidents.
And
we're going to get Joe to flesh this out for us right after these messages. Fascinating stuff, folks. We can see how you stack up against what Joe found out. Joe Kilmartin, ladies and gentlemen, with Salary.com. He and I will be right back.
I was a dandy.
Little Mark Knopfler on guitar there from the Dire Straits, folks. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great time rocking and rolling with our good friend Joe Kilmartin, Director of Compensation at Salary.com. We're talking about a recent survey that he and his organization conducted on small business executive compensation. And Joe, I was reminding the audience when we went to the break that when we use the words executive and vice president, you know, don't, if your business doesn't use those terms on a regular basis, and as you know, Joe, many small businesses don't use executive much. A lot of owners don't know that they're the CEO. They don't, you know, I guess they'd know if they thought about it. They just don't think about it much.
That's right.
And so as we use these terms, folks, don't get hung up on that. Think about the people that are helping you lead the charge. These are the people that you count on for creativity, for execution. These are the people who have the keys to your building and are helping you that, you know, if something happened to you, these are the people who would step into the breach and continue to march while you were out or whatever. You know, it doesn't, frankly, you know, I don't think it matters what we call them, Joe. And I think that's one of the big differences between big businesses and little big businesses. We don't get hung up on the titles that much.
That's right. I'll give you an example. In manufacturing, in a large manufacturing environment, a large company, they'd have senior vice presidents of manufacturing by product line, and they might have multiple plants underneath them. In a small business, that person may be the production manager.
Uh-huh.
It may
right.
be a plant manager.
Right, right.
And, you know, they wouldn't even think of using the title vice president there.
Right, exactly, exactly. All right, so what did you find out?
Well, one of the really interesting things was that manufacturing seems to be doing very well in the small business community. You know, you read stories, you know, day after day about manufacturing's all going overseas, that were, you know, outsourcing to China, to India. But in the manufacturing sector, the companies that responded to our survey seem to be doing very well.
There is a resurgence, Joe, of manufacturing in the United States. It's just not the 20th century type. It's mm-hmm. not the 20th century scale. Most of it is small business, isn't it?
That's right.
And pardon me, Joe, but when I travel to Washington and meet with the top small business owners that the SBA have chosen and others, I'm seeing, not only am I seeing more and more small manufacturers, Joe, I'm seeing a lot of startup manufacturers.
That's right.
That's exciting.
It is. It's very exciting. And part of it has to do with the creativity of the American worker. The fact that these entrepreneurs are saying we can do it better and we can do it locally much mm-hmm. better than we can by, you know, going overseas to do it. And a lot of it has to do with what they're manufacturing, too. There are a lot of
right.
things that if you're near the end user, it's better than having it. Having the production plant 3,000 miles away.
And I'll tell you something else, Joe. I've met many of them who not only are manufacturing in the United States, but they're actually outsourcing part of their manufacturing overseas, and not just to Asia. I met one company that's getting manufacturing done in Europe and in the Mediterranean area, as a complement to what they can do here in the United States. And I asked them, you know, if, you know, everybody's complaining about outsourcing and they want to stop it and all that, would you be in business? Would you be able to have the 50 or 100 employees in the United States that you have if you weren't able to outsource that particular component? And every time they say, absolutely not. I would not have been able to have started my business. And this guy, by the way, this particular one I'm thinking of, he'd only been in business about 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new startup, relatively startup manufacturing company, out doing insourcing and outsourcing, and he wouldn't be around if he couldn't take advantage of the global marketplace.
Yeah, I think we're almost learning that this is what the Japanese learned a couple decades ago. They've been very successful in their automotive industry, but when you look at the suppliers to the automotive industry in Japan, they're very, very small companies supplying those companies.
Right.
And that's what's happening now in the United States. And
right.
that's what's happening worldwide, because the same thing's happening in Brazil.
And that's the reason why it's ridiculous for politicians to start complaining about globalization and outsourcing and all that. It's not good or bad, folks. It's just the way of things.
That's correct. My heart goes out to those people that lose their jobs. And hopefully the states and the federal government can put in job training that can bring those people into the 21st century.
Education and training is the key.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So what did we find out about the salaries, though?
Salaries, for example, in manufacturing, manufacturing leads the way in salaries. People that own manufacturing companies are being paid better than people that own educational services companies, for example.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a direct correlation, profitability and ability to pay high salaries. So we're seeing that. Retail trades, which is traditionally, even in the big business sector, is a relatively low-paying industry. That's the same is true in the small business community,
mm-hmm.
too.
And these are people also who are pretty high-skilled.
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. What else did we learn?
Well, we're finding that there are differences, obviously, geographically. Interestingly, we're sort of shocked at first when we saw that the highest paying region in the country is Washington, D.C. for small businesses.
Well, that's there's a reason for that. It's because it costs a doggone much to live up there.
That could be.
Hey, Joe, give us that website quickly.
It's www.salary.com.
And they can find the white paper there, can't they? Your survey there?
They can find access to the survey. There are three sites: the consumer site,
right,
the small business site, and the enterprise
when
site.
When we come back, we'll tell you how to get to those folks. Tintel, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Joe Kilmartin. Joe is Director of Compensation at Salary.com. And Joe, tell us how we can get this survey.
If you go to our website, www.salary.com, you're going to come to our main page, and you're going to see that there are different services that we have, and one is small business data. On the right-hand side, it's personal data, small business data, and enterprise data. If you click on small business, that'll bring you up the small business page, and there are various bits of information there, one of which is compensation surveys. If you click on that, you can actually go and purchase a copy of the survey.
Right.
The price is $295, and which is very competitive with other surveys out there, and this is the only small business survey.
Right, right. And also, while they're there, they can check out the other things that you offer for small businesses to help them to provide the right salary, stay competitive. Because, you know, and this is so important, folks, because, Joe, when I travel around, and I see this in other people's surveys, and I'm sure you guys have found the same thing. When I travel around speaking to small businesses at chambers of commerce and different places where I keynote, I ask them, what is the single greatest thing that keeps you up at night? And in every single case, 100% of the responses are finding and hiring the right people for the job.
And keeping them.
Exactly. Staying not only being competitive in the hiring process, but staying competitive in the employment process.
That's right. And there's a lot more than just a dollar amount that goes into that, of course.
Yep, exactly. But you got to be competitive all the way around, and that's one of the reasons that Salary.com, one of the things that they do is they help you with that. Okay, Joe, what are some other things that we learned about compensation in the Small Business Executive Survey?
Well, I'll go back to the locations. There are some locations in the United States that the small business owners are not doing as well in terms of salary, and a lot of those are what we'd consider to be lower paying areas anyways, the upper Midwest, for example. Obviously, even in large businesses, those areas pay less than they would in New York or in the Northeast.
Right.
So there are geographic differentials. The other thing we learned is that there are obviously common sense differentials, that there are differentials based on size. The larger the company is, the more opportunity the owner has to pay himself and pay his
right.
workers.
The more stress and pressure and performance is required of those executives.
That's right.
Those necks get real long at that level, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
Even though we talked about companies with up to 500 employees, the average number of employees in these companies was 98,
mm-hmm.
And the median was 82, and the average revenues was $26.3 million in the survey.
Mm-hmm. Which means if an average is 26, I mean, I know a lot of small businesses with 30 employees who are doing 10, 15 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have hit a lot of those kinds of folks.
Yes, we did.
And that's our wheelhouse right here on this show. So that's interesting. All right, what else did you learn?
Well, the other thing we learned is that the public companies, a lot of the companies.
Do you consider public companies to be small businesses just because of their size?
Yes, because of the size, either number of employees or revenue size.
Right. Okay. You don't call them from the small business category just because they're public.
No, we do not, although we do show the data differently. We've broken our data out by sole proprietor, family-owned business, mm-hmm. Private business that's pre-IPO, closely held corporations and partnerships, publicly held corporations and subsidiary or joint ventures. So we have broken it out that way, and we've also broken it out geographically and by number of employees and revenue size.
Right, right.
So a company that is family-owned, they may not be interested in looking at the overall number. They probably want to find out what other family-owned businesses
mm-hmm.
are paying.
And you've got that broken out, but like that.
That's right.
So they can see their own vertical profile. They can see that in the survey.
That's right. So the data is not overly influenced by the fact that some publicly held companies are in there.
Right, right. Well, that's good. That's smart of you guys to do that. So, folks, whatever your profile is, however you're structured, sole proprietor or family business or enterprise company or public or whatever, they've got it vertically structured in the survey. Hey, Joe, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Jim, thank you very much for having me.
Enjoyed having you here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour, folks. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.